beautiful day to be here and worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We can do better than that. This is the part where you precipitate with me. I say, what a wonderful morning to be here and worship the Lord. Amen. And you say, amen. All right. That's much better. Much better. My name is Jeff Chiesa, and I am from Stop 9. I've been doing this for about 8 or 9 years now. I was the first preacher to be an astronaut. I also was Barney, you know, the big fluffy guy. I was in that suit. Yeah, didn't know all this? I have a doctorate in chemical engineering, yeah. No, I don't have any of that stuff. I have a doctorate and stuff, but it's not that. I spent the last 2.5 years doing a ministry called CRAM, Christian Recovery for Addiction and Mental Health, online. It started when the lockdown began. I was in college, and I stopped college to do ministry. And I've had my own congregation and blah, blah, blah. Enough about me. This morning's lesson is on one word, contentment. Contentment. How many of you are content with your lives? Wow, that's it? Well, you're not going to like this sermon. Contentment is something that the world says doesn't exist, right? Watch advertisements. What do advertisements tell us? You got to have this new car. You've got to have this new phone. You've got to buy a new house. You've got to use this app. Because if you get this car from us, it's going to make you content. You're going to be happy. Is it true? No. You'll just be in debt is what you're really going to be. They're just trying to get you to buy whatever they're selling. But in the world's eyes, nothing is ever enough. You always want more, 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 more. And what does that breed? That breeds discontentment. That's not what contentment is. Simply put, contentment is not necessarily a typewriter tongue there. Not necessarily having what you want, but having what you need and appreciating it. See, the key to contentment is appreciation for what God has given us. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot. I live in a little apartment, have an old 2010 Ford Fusion, which I love. But I don't have a lot of money and a lot of stuff. But over the years, you know what I've gained? I've gained things that I can't buy with money. I have filled that God-shaped hole with peace and love and joy. The world can't sell you that, can it? You ever seen an advertisement for joy? Except for the detergent. Probably see those. Can you go to Walmart and buy a case of peace? No. It only comes from the Lord. It only comes through being content. Content with where you are and what God's given you. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't learn to be content where you are, you're never going to be content. If you're not content with yourself right now, now when I say content, I mean with the stuff, the needs that God has filled. I'm not talking about spiritually, because spiritually we should never be content. We should get up every morning and try to be more and more Christ-like. We shouldn't be content in that. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians do that. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians grow to a certain point and they just stop. I'm content right here. I've come a long way. Yeah, but how far do you have to go? We're never going to get there. So spiritually, we should never be content with who we are. Because being discontented, which is the opposite of being content, by the way, is the outward symptom of an inward problem. The symptom is I'm not content. What is the problem? I don't appreciate what God's given me. It's not enough, God. You didn't give me what I wanted, God. You didn't give me happiness. I asked you for this so I could be happy. You know, God's not interested in your happiness. There's no place in the Bible that says God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to have joy and peace. And that comes through contentment. How about the grass is always greener? Anybody ever heard that one? The grass is always greener on the other side. Let me go over here where the grass is greener. Actually, the carpet's the same color. But pretend like this is grass. The thing is, have you ever had a situation in your life where you were where you were, and it was good, but you looked over there and went, that looks better. That grass, the grass I'm on is this kind of green. That grass is dark. It's sparkly. It's beautiful over there. And you say, okay, I'm going to go over there. And you get over here and you get to that new grass and you realize it's actually dead. I was seeing things. I was seeing what I wanted to see. And then you go, man, I wish I could be back over here. I wish I could be back where I was. Because I didn't realize it at the time, but I was pretty content there. And we tend to do that. And discontentment, it says nothing's ever good enough. My relationship isn't good enough. My money's not enough. My position isn't enough. My possessions aren't enough. I need more, more, more. Where does it end? Where does the more, more, more end? Probably bankruptcy. It's not going to end in happiness. Well, it might end in worldly happiness. The idea is that we need to be content with what God has given us. Because what God has given me right now is what I need right now. Are you content in the season that God has you in? Good, bad, or indifferent? Do you know we should be content even in the hard times? How can I be content when everything around me is going crazy? Well, you can be. Because I'll tell you one thing you got to remember. Things might be bad, but they can always. That's it. Boy, you guys are good. I didn't even have to tell you to say that. That was great. And discontentment causes problems. It brings envy and jealousy into our lives. It brings a lack of thankfulness and appreciation. If I don't appreciate what I have, I'm going to think I need more. And it just doesn't matter how much stuff you have. The more, more, more never makes you content. How many people have I'm a big documentary guy. I like to watch documentaries about people's lives and things like that, just for no real apparent reason, or just for useless knowledge that I'm going to use right now. A lot of times these people will be poor, and they'll be a comedian or an actor or a musician or something, and they think, man, when I get to the top, when I'm famous and I have money and prestige and all these things, I'm going to be happy. And they work for years. They become quasi-millionaires, and they have all the fame and the glory they could possibly want, and then they shoot themselves. They become alcoholics. They become drug addicts. Why? Because contentment can't come from anything that the world has to offer. Contentment only comes from what God has to offer. It takes away our peace and joy when we're not content. Let's look at 1 John 2:16. We'll see where discontentment comes from. First John 2:16. Oh, we'll look at 15 and 16. I saw 15 was up here a few minutes ago. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust just means an unquenchable desire. It's just all that kind of thing. I don't know if you're looking at it in the dictionary, it has me going, ugh, but it's like that. It's a powerful drive and a powerful desire. And lust of the flesh just means I want physical pleasure. Whether it be sex, drugs, or rock and roll, whichever one it happens to be, it could be food, it could be adrenaline, It could be anything that gives you, it could be relaxing, sitting in a sauna, whatever it is that gives you physical pleasure. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes means I want everything I see. I want that new car, that new iPhone, that new game system. All that. And the pride of life, which is to have pride in my achievements and my possessions. Well, you know, I got this award from the city council, and I'm the CEO of whatever. I am very, very important. I scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game in high school. I'm a really important guy. And we start thinking that way. And these 3 things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, every sin you will ever commit, every discontentment, which leads to sin, by the way, comes from one of these 3 things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you follow back any sin you commit far enough, you're going to find one of those 3 things is the motivation. I guarantee it. But that's where our discontentment comes from. Because we want what we see and we want what everybody else has and, oh, I got to be important. I've got to have people praise me. And they got it all backwards. Contentment doesn't come from other people praising me. It comes by me praising God. That's where contentment comes from. It doesn't come from the achievements that I can do. Yes, could I go and get a bunch of degrees in college? Could I, you know, I could have more degrees than a thermometer. And, it, you know, what difference does it make? Because that's stuff that the world provides. I can have all that, but I can't buy what God has. Only God can give me peace and joy and the other 9 or 8 or 7. I went to Meadowbrook. Counting is not my strong suit. Well, I thought I'd get a bigger laugh than that. You got a tough crowd. Do you guys play Meadowbrook at all? Did you ever? Back in the 80s, did you guys play Meadowbrook? Yeah? I recall playing a football game here, I thought. But I rode a bus, so I didn't have any clue how to get here. Because I wasn't paying any attention. I didn't ask the bus driver, where are we going? Can you give me directions, please? But every sin we ever commit comes from one of these 3 things, which means discontentment comes from these 3 things. And contentment is about appreciating what God has given you. And God's going to give you what you need. And I'll be honest with you, I'm content with what I have in my life right now. But the fact is, God has given me more than I need. How many of you has God given more than you need? I would figure just about everybody's hand ought to go up for that one. Do I appreciate what I have? Yes. Is God giving me more than what I need? Yes. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't appreciate what you got and what God has given you, you're not going to get any more. God is not interested in giving to people who don't appreciate what he's already given them. If I buy somebody a present, and the day after Christmas, they take it back to Walmart. Guess who's not getting a present next year? You know, I spent money on it. I thought about it. That was something I was trying to give you, something special, and it wasn't good enough for you. And I think God looks at us the same way. We sit down here and go, well, God, thank you, but this ain't enough. And the truth is, if God says it's enough, it's enough. I may not think it is. I might see a situation and say, there's no way this is going to work out. I've been in many situations, I'm sure some of you have too, where God has said, Jeff, well, I didn't say Jeff to you unless you're Jeff. But he'll say, Jeff, this is what I want you to do. And I pray about him, pray about it. He says, do this. And I'm going, God, that doesn't make any sense. How could this possibly work out? We have to do this my way, God, because I'm not content with the way you're taking me. I got to force a square peg in a round hole. You know what happens? Very little. Nothing good. I have to learn to appreciate what God has given me. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, ironically. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at 25 to 30. I'm sure Most of us are familiar with this section of Scripture, but I think it applies well here. Matthew 6, 25 to 30. And Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more than food, and a body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your life?" So Jesus right here is talking about the fact, what are you worrying about? Why are you worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? The birds, they fly over, but they don't store things up. But yet God takes care of them. And aren't you more important than them? How many of you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And discontentment causes worry. Because I'm constantly wanting more and more and more, and I got to figure out a way to get it, and I don't want to lose it. Oh, I got it all now. I don't want to lose it. It causes worry. When we're not content with what God has given us, if I don't trust what God has given me right now is what I need, I'm not going to trust that He's going to give me what I need tomorrow. So I'm going to worry about what's going to happen. Any of you ever wasted time worrying about something and God took care of it and you were like, what was I worrying about? That's called faith. That's what faith is. Faith is God got me through this and He got me through this. Well, now I believe He's going to get me through this and I believe He's going to get me through that, and I'm not even worried about that anymore. Because my faith is strong. And Jesus is talking about worrying can't add a single hour, single minute, single second to your life. In fact, it's scientifically proven that worrying will kill you. It can give high blood pressure. It can give strokes, heart attacks. These are not things that make you live an hour longer. And they all come from worrying. And they all come from not being content in what God has given us. Verse 28, he says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So first, Jesus uses the birds as an example, that they don't store up food, but yet God feeds them. Aren't we more important than them? Then He uses the example of the flowers and how He clothes them, and they're more beautiful than Solomon in all his splendor. Solomon was a rich dude. I'm sure when he went to the nines, I'm sure he was pretty fancy. But these flowers were more beautiful and more spectacular than even him, but yet they die and get thrown into the fire. Are we more important to God than that? Ye of little faith. Contentment comes from faith. Verse 31, he says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Who runs after those things? Who wants more, more, more? Who has to have the new this and that? The world. That's the way the world works. The world's not content, so they're constantly going after things, usually things they don't even need. But as Christians, we should be content with what we have. Because God has given me exactly what I need right now. I'm where I should be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and God has given me what I need. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to get caught up in it. I don't need to get caught up in the rat race of the world trying to get everything that the advertisers are telling me I need. My friends are telling me I need. Do I have wants? Oh, yeah, do I want that new car? Oh, I think it'd be kind of cool to have a new car. Personally, I want a Ferrari. A red one, because I want to be Magnum P.I. That's my goal in life. You know, yeah, do I want a nicer phone? Do I want this and that and the other? Of course we have desires for these things. But they can't go to the point where they make me discontent with what I do have. But there's a little wrinkle here. Jesus says, God's going to take care. He's going to give you what you need to eat. He's going to give you what you need to wear. But you need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So where does true contentment come from? Seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. If my life is focused on serving God, and I'm talking 24/7, I'm talking every second you're awake, you're thinking about how can I please God. If I'm focused that much on God, I don't have time to worry about what I don't have. If nobody's ever called you a Jesus freak or told you you were too churchy or something like that, you know, maybe you might want to reconsider a few things. Believe me, I've been there and done that. I've had lots of people telling me I'm too churchy. I don't even know what that means logically, but I kind of think that's what the Bible tells us we're supposed to be. He just said it right there. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. We're not going to look at 1 Timothy 6, but it talks about the fact that we brought nothing in this world. Who brought anything in the world with them? Anybody come out of their mother's womb with a suitcase? No? I didn't either. What'd you come out wearing? Your birthday suit. The only suit God ever gave you that'll last you the rest of your life. Even grows when you do. So I don't understand why people are afraid to go out in the rain. You're waterproof. Don't worry about it. But we brought nothing in. And guess what we're taking out? Oh, you can bury me with a car. You can bury me with my dog. But it's not going with me. You know who gets the stuff you add up and all the possessions you get? Everybody you left behind. Even the people in your family you don't like. I know. Now, I'm sure everybody has a family member they don't like, and do not look at the person right now. Don't do that. You get yourself in trouble. But the fact is, contentment comes from having what we need and being content with it. Even happy, if you will. I'm happy with my life because I'm content with it. I sit on my couch and look around my apartment and go, yeah, this is kind of cool. Now, a lot of people probably walk in and go, look, a single dude lives here. Because you can tell. I have stuff on my walls that I would never be allowed to have. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be content with where we are and the season we're in and with what God's doing in our life right now. And contentment comes from faith. It comes from realizing that God's going to give me what I need. And to do that, I need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what it says. If you don't like it, don't yell at me. I didn't write it. I didn't do that. That's what it says. So if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, he's going to take care of us. He's going to give us what we need. We don't need to act like the world and run after everything. What we need to do is act like we've been there. Act like we have some faith. Act like we have some sense. You ever watch football games anymore, any of you? NFL games? Those people celebrate after every play. They could be losing by 1,000,000 points. They sack a guy and they're like, woo, yeah, look at me, woo, look at me. I'm going, dude, you're down by 40 points. What are you doing? Act like you've been there before. You know, you go in the end zone and do a 5-minute dance. I'm like, you spent more time learning your dance than you did the playbook, dude. Come on. We don't need to get caught up in the world. We need to stay focused on what God has given us and what God has called us to do. And we don't need to worry about anything past that. Once we get there, it's over, it's done, it's taken care of. Because Jesus told us that God was going to do that for us if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I urge you, as you go out through the rest of your week, to count your blessings, to see how content you really are. When you get in a certain situation or get in a certain mood, think about, wow, maybe I should be more content with this. Maybe I shouldn't get so upset every time this happens. Maybe I should be more content. I've got what I need. Oh, geez, my phone quit working. Oh, gee, like the rest of the world doesn't have one. Just talk to the person next to you. You know? Don't freak out about things. Because God's taking care of you. You may not see how, but I'm going to tell you. I've lived it. I've done it. I had the T-shirt. And it'll be for sale right outside after the services. I'm just kidding. That's not true. The fact of the matter is that God's going to take care of you. And I'm living proof that God will get you through some pretty bad things and use you to His glory. All you need to do is be content and let Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what I have. I thank you for having me here this morning. You've been great, and God bless you.